Good evening.
We're in the book of Mark,
chapter 5. We dealt with the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' clothing and was healed.
We remember that she was on her, or Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house because Jairus had reported that his daughter was sick and was needing Jesus to come relieve her of her sickness. And on that way, then Jesus was interrupted by the woman who touched the hem of his garment. In chapter 6 of Mark, we'll see that there are several people who touches the clothing of Jesus and is made well. So I just thought I'd bring that out. But while we're looking at Mark chapter 5, verses 35 through 43, we want to pick up. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Do not be afraid, just believe." Coming into contact with Jesus, what was it that Jesus pointed out that was exceptional about the woman who touched his garment? Was it because she was a Samaritan? No, it was because of her faith. Right. What is he asking Jairus to do? To have faith. Keep the faith. Okay? Don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Now, that was the custom of the day, that there was even professional people that did the mourning. So they are mourning and they're crying and they're wailing loudly. And Jesus went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion? Why the wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they all laughed at Jesus. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, which is what? Peter, James, and John. And went in to where the child was, and he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumam," which means little girl. "I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Okay, let's look at this thought. This series of passages in Mark chapter 5. It is the healing of the man's daughter. And he allowed only certain of the apostles to, or disciples to accompany him. The people said, "She's dead." Jesus said, "She's asleep." And sometimes there's a controversy over those two thoughts, but sleep is often used as a euthanism for death. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30, chapter 15 and verse 6 of the same book, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 through 15 are just three examples in which sleep is used as a euthanism for death. Was she dead? Yeah. She was stone dead. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been any mourners. Otherwise, they would not have run to the man, the ruler of the synagogue, and told him, "Don't bother Jesus." They understood that she was dead. Jesus goes in with the parents, with the three disciples, takes her by the hand, and raises her from the dead. Meanwhile, the people are laughing at him. This Talitha Kum, what does your translation say for that passage? Is that an incantation? No. It says, little girl, get up. That's what the NIV translates it. Little girl, get up. I think that's important to point out because the age of girls was defined anyone from one day old to 11 years in one day was considered a child. A female that was 11 years in one day to 12 years or 12 and a half years of age is considered a young daughter. And anyone, any young lady who is 12 years of age and older was considered to be an adult to distinguish their marriageable age. He uses the text, little girl. She's 12 years old. And so he's signifying the age of the girl with his saying, little girl, get up. Question. Why did Jesus tell the people, tell the parents, he told them to give her something to eat, but why did he tell them, be quiet, don't tell anybody about this?
Probably an assurance that they would.
By telling us don't do something, he's really wanting us to tell everybody?
Not the only time.
Okay. His time had not come yet. This wasn't the only time. I'm just going to do this with you. Make it a little bit easier on it, didn't you? In chapter 6, we're going to see where Jesus has to drive his disciples to get in a boat and get away from the 5,000 people that he feeds. He orders them. And I think that's significant. In every translation I've read, that command is not, go get in the boat. It is a command, go get in the boat. Why? Jesus had just fed 5,000 men with what?
Five loaves and two fishes.
The people are seeing, the people are amassing here's the Messiah, and here is one that can feed an army. So I think that it's significant that we look at the setting of the time. That if it was general knowledge for everybody that not only could it feed an army, but what kind of an army would there be when one side cannot be killed? When the Messiah, the leader, could just touch them and they would be resurrected, ready to fight again. I think there was quite a bit of pressure on Jesus to go about God's will differently. And I think that's one of the temptations that perhaps sometimes we leave at Matthew chapter 4. But Jesus was tempted throughout. So, anything else on chapter 5 before we leave it?
He could have been overwhelmed with people trying to leave that scene.
He could have been overwhelmed by people? Go ahead and enlarge on that.
Well,
had they seen this miracle, and he told them to be quiet. If they'd went rushing out and said, you know, he's raised her from the dead, I think the crowd would have pressed against him and been clamoring for him to come here, go there, touch me, do this. And his primary purpose wasn't to heal the people, it was to save the people. And I think he wanted to be about that more than he wanted to be about the healings, even though he did the healings.
Anything else on Mark chapter 5? Well, let's look at chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. The perversion reads, "He left there and returned to his hometown. His disciples came along. On the Sabbath, he gave a lesson in the morning or in the meeting place. He made a real hit, impressing everyone. We had no idea he was this good," they said. "How did he get so wise all of a sudden? Get such ability." But in the next breath, they were cutting him down. "He's just a carpenter's boy. He's Mary's boy. We've known him since he was a kid. We know his brothers, James, Justus, Jude, Simon, and his sisters. Who does he think he is?" They tripped over what little they knew about him and fell sprawling. And they never got any further. Jesus told them, "A prophet has little honor in his hometown, among his relatives, on the streets he played in as a child." Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. He laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. That's all. He couldn't get over their stubbornness. He left them and made a circuit of other villages teaching. So reads the perversion, and most of the thoughts are mirrored what NIV, the King James, and the other versions say in more colloquial verbiage. Jesus left there and he went to his hometown, which was Nazareth, about 25 miles away from Capernaum. He was accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And the men who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "Only in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Okay, we're going to stop there and look at those six verses. A couple of questions, please. Thought just kind of struck me, and now I'm willing to lose that thought completely. How does the King James read here after Jesus' quotation, the quotation of Jesus? Somebody have the King James?
He's talking about verse 5.
I believe it is, yeah.
And he could do there no more mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them.
Does anybody else have another version that might be slightly a little bit different? The New American reads very similar. Chapter 6, verse 5. He could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Why do you think Mark entered that thought? And we talked about this last week. Was Jesus restricted by the faith of the person in healing?
No.
No, that girl wasn't very faithful, was she? She was dead. Okay. So why could Jesus do limited works in that area?
My Bible says in the comments that it was their lack of faith, and that's why he decided to move on, because he was not having the response from the people, I believe, that he needed.
That's the comments. That's not in Scripture. Okay. I mean, it's a thought. It's a thought. Sherry?
In Matthew 13:58, talking about the same incident, it said, "And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith."
Okay. So, is that implying that, contrary to what we just said, that Jesus can only heal with the faith of others?
I think it limited his options to do this. They weren't coming to him for healing, maybe, in the ways that other places had, because they didn't believe. He was just a carpenter's son, son of Mary. You know, this man is nothing great, so why bother? So he probably didn't have the opportunities he had other places.
I think that is more apt, more reflective of what Matthew and Mark are trying to say. That, yes, there was a lack of faith. There was so much lack of faith that they were not flocking to him. So let's think about this for a minute. This thought about, who is he? Isn't this the carpenter? Don't we know his brothers? And they just named them all out? Aren't his sisters here with us? Isn't his mother Mary? What makes him so special? Well, I think this is an interesting thought, because how do we look at, or how does people look at our faith from time as a child to today? Do they look at us and say, "Wow, he's really matured? Sure has gotten big, hasn't he?" Or sometimes people remember us as the cute little kid and not the person of faith we are today. And I think that's what people were seeing in Jesus there in Nazareth. They were remembering that kid and not seeing him in his glory. Sometimes we have a difficult time of getting past the age thing ourselves. So I can understand how that can be with Jesus. Comments? What do you think?
Well, it talks about a prophet in his own home as a prophet. He didn't dress like a prophet. He didn't dress like John the Baptist, what they knew of Isaiah and those prophets. A prophet was supposed to look like this. Here's what a prophet looks like. And we know he's not a prophet. But, you know, it all boils down to their unbelief. You can't help someone if they don't want to be helped.
Yeah. Remember us door knocking, and we were coming up to a door, and we were just coming up the driveway. Guy shouts out from the driveway, "Yeah, what do you want?" Well, we're not selling anything. We're just in the neighborhood encouraging people to study their Bibles. Can we talk to you about... No. And after a few expletives, no, we didn't go any farther. Why? That person's heart was hardened to the point where, kind of like that hat that's been tread on so much that the seed can't get in. We didn't have an opportunity to even share the word with that person. So that may be the same thing here. He can't explain who he is. He can't share who he is because all they can get past is that kid. I remember a kid, and he's not with us tonight. Paul, I don't want you to get embarrassed. I remember a kid when we lived on Woodson Drive who, well, we heard noises outside the house, and we ran outside the house, and we saw a kid throwing snowballs at cars. Now, if that's the only image I have, I would never see the growth, the development, and maturity that came in that man. So I think sometimes our perceptions keep us away. And Jesus could do no great thing there. Chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. And I'm going to stop right there for a second. Those of you that have a pen or a pencil, please write down Matthew chapter 10, and I believe it's verse 28. Unbelievers will point to Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 10. I could be wrong about the verse, but I think it's verse 28. And the events here in Mark chapter 6 as a conflict. And so I just want to put it out there for you to look at separately. And I can tell you a few things that I found in my studies, and we'll go from there. Okay, Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 6. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and say something. Whose authority did he give? God? Yeah, he gave his authority that Jesus had. He gave his authority to the disciples, that they might cast out demons or evil spirits. Why? The Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. The Holy Spirit has not come yet. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except for a staff. Now I'm going to point out to you that Matthew says, take no staff. Okay? If you think there might be a difference in the words in Greek, there is no difference. The same word used in Matthew is the same word used in Mark chapter 6. Okay? Take nothing for the journey except for a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the town. And if any place will not welcome you or will not listen to you, shake the dust of your feet or dust off of your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Okay? So he's sending out the commission or giving the commission to the apostles. He sent them out two by two. Take nothing for your journey except for a staff. Again, remind you, Matthew says, don't take a staff. Next week, we want to look at that thought, because there's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, says that there is no interpretation that is of man, that what is written or what is spoken was by the inspiration of God. Correct? Was Matthew right? Yes. Matthew was right. Was Mark right? Yes. There is no contradiction. So, next week we'll look at staff or no staff. Okay. Take no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Why? You will be provided. Why did he tell them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the town? Okay. I come to town, I stay at Paul's house. But I find out Bill's got bedrooms that aren't in use. And I hate to say it, his house is newer. Or Ed and Cindy's got a fancy house. Dylan and Wiley, they're too far out of town. So I come into town, I stay with Paul for two nights, and I say, oh, I think I'll stay with Bill. Or maybe I'll just kind of house shop and go to Ed and Cindy's. Why does he tell the disciples, don't be home shopping?
It's not as efficient, for one thing, to be moving around place to place.
Yep, not nearly as efficient. I think there's something else. They were not supposed to be... Go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, it would become known where they were, and if people were faithful, they could go to them. That would make it easier for them. And I think this is something to increase their faith. Don't take anything with you. You know, they're going to have the faith to know that it can be provided. And they probably had some questions about that till it actually, you know, came true.
Yeah. I think that there's a thought there, too. You choose this house. This is the house you're going to stay in. Yes, it's going to make it more convenient. Yes, it'll be more efficient. But also, that prevents me house hunting. That prevents me from seeing this house and saying, oh, well, there's a more glorious mansion. Or there's another place I could stay. And what am I doing? Who am I really appeasing? Yes. I'm appeasing me. I'm looking for the sugar plums. I'm looking to see who's got the best table. I'm looking for me.
You stated they chose the house, but they may go to a town, they may not even know anybody. The custom of the time was, to me, the house is going to choose, the person of the house is going to choose them to stay there, because that was the custom of the time. When an unknown person come into a town, they would take them in. So that's going to be a more hospitable person, and if you're preaching the word, it's going to be somebody who already believes in that, or believes in that word, what you're saying. I don't know.
That's a thought. Go ahead, Barbara.
The account in Matthew says, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence.
So that it is a choosing of the house and not a shopping. Yeah. As long as I'm in town, I'm going to stay at this one place. I think that's an interesting thing. Okay. Why no bread, no bag, no money? What's the bag for?
Give to the poor. Sustain.
To give to the poor. Who puts into the bag? It's a collection bag. Whoever is being taught, what was that about muzzling the ox? Why is that teaching? What am I getting at here?
You're not to request money for service.
Not to request money for services. I give you a good lesson. I'm bringing you hope. I'm bringing you this. And you're bringing me what? Your thanks and reward for the lesson. Your thanks and reward for the work. Your thanks? No. You're not going to be collecting any money. You're not going to take any money in your belts. You're not going to be self-sufficient. You are going to be at the mercy of those you're studying with. 8:00. Time flies. This week, if you would, look at Matthew chapter 10, particularly about the no staff and the staff here in Mark chapter 6. They are the same Greek word. I'll say that again. They are the same Greek word. Any other thoughts or questions or comments?